To do social media is one thing and to do it right is another. So setting expectations and really defining what you want out of it, first and foremost, is going to be important to, you know, how can you measure success if you don't know what it looks like?
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I'm here with Sheila Dunn. Sheila, what's up? How are you?
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm great.
I'm excited. I'm really I want to pick your brain and learn from you. You do similar stuff to what I do, and people could be like, oh, Ben, why are you bringing a marketer? Why are you bringing an influencer on the show? The reason is because I think we can collaborate. I'm sure I can learn a ton from you because you're the founder and co-owner of Dunn Goodwin, right? So tell us about Dunn Goodwin and exactly what you guys do.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm extremely excited, and I definitely think we can collaborate and bounce ideas off of each other. Dunn Goodwin is a full service digital agency, and we really help small and mid-sized businesses stand out online in an increasingly saturated digital world, specializing in social media management. So A to Z posting, you know, managing their communities, building audiences, social media advertising, so, you know, Facebook ads, Google ads, things like that, and the visual content creation, so photo and video. And really help our clients tell their stories in unique ways through digital formats.
I love it. And you do a lot of things. I know you have a podcast of your own. Let's start and kind of tell a story here. You know, start with what got you in the field at first. I know that you ran a very popular Instagram. So let's start with, you know, what got you into communications in the first place. Maybe talk a little bit about how you've built successful Instagrams and built such large following, something that I am yet to do. and I'll definitely want to hear some tips on how you did it as well.
Sure. So in hindsight, I never really knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but in hindsight, it kind of makes sense. So I got started with my business actually sort of by accident. So in high school, I started an Instagram, which is kind of what people were doing then. And I started it with my best friend, and we called it Best Friend Bucket List. So we would post things like going swimming with dolphins or, you know, climbing a mountain, and we would say, tag a friend who you would love to go do this with, sort of, you know, bucket list items. And that grew organically, just very, you know, a great audience at that time, you know, young teenage girls looking to, and it would grow through people tagging their friends. And so again, it started just for fun, and we grew it to about 200,000 followers. And at that time, I actually, again, it was just for fun. I showed my brothers after I posted something, my phone. I usually keep notifications off, but I, like, as a joke, showed them my phone. No one knew I had this Instagram account. I just kept it, you know, kind of private. And it was just blowing up, like, no, right. Everyone was liking the photo as soon as I posted it. And they were like, you have to monetize this. They're always, you know, business minded. So that was kind of my first taste of digital marketing. And actually, in a way, that was its own business in itself. I was partnering with other brands to promote their products kind of as an influencer. Again, this was probably 2012, 2013. I was quite young, not sure what I was really doing, but learned
early to the game.
Yeah, timing was great.
Awesome.
And so, yeah, fast forward after that, I ended up selling that Instagram account to a company based in California. And they were sort of my unofficial first client. I started working with their digital advertising team, sort of consulting. Again, I was, you know, senior year high school, freshman in college at the time. So I was learning very quickly, hands-on. And I partnered with my co-founder, Luke, who his background was in creating promotional videos for local businesses. So the visual content creation really goes hand in hand with the social media distribution. And started it freshman year. No anticipation of it kind of growing to the extent that it did, but very fortunate to have had that experience. And I got to have a background in computer science and economics. So recently graduated, and now here we are, 4 years later after starting the business and full time and continuing to grow our client base.
It's amazing, and I am impressed. It's funny how that can work. You've got a fun hobby that you're playing around on Instagram, but people love the content you're putting out. Before you know it, you sold out that Instagram account. I didn't even really know that was a thing. So that's really cool. And these days, are you working a lot with influencers, like small business brands, or what does your client base look like? Or maybe give us an example of a client and maybe a story of what you did for them, because it's super interesting.
Sure. Yeah. So a local one would be the Mercantile on Main. I could share a little bit about just the scope of work and influencers, we work a lot with them. Like I said, it's really the managing your online presence. So that could be taking your Instagram, making it stand out, having creating the GIFs, the story icons, really optimizing it and making it look nice, and then building that audience and seeing how we can convert that audience along the way. So recently, the reason I bring up Mercantile on Main is just because we're right in that building, the Sibley Square building, the Dunn Goodwin office is there. So that's been a fun one. They just opened up in January, so that's kind of top of mind. And we run advertisements. If people are coming to the Merc on Main website, we'll run an advertisement, hit them on Facebook, Instagram, Google Ads, kind of A to Z in terms of their digital presence. But it's great to also, we work with other agencies and, also have that. We don't really touch any traditional marketing or things like that.
It's awesome. And I like to ask open-ended questions and kind of ask a question that I think the audience might be wondering, but I'm literally wondering it myself too. So imagine you're a small business and you do an incredible job at what you do. It doesn't matter what it is. You could be a roofer, you could be an accountant, you could be an insurance agent, you could be a marketing company. And your strong points, you're as good as anybody. But the social media thing's daunting. You post on Instagram, you get 20 views on your video. You post on Facebook, if you don't advertise, you might even have 2,000 followers and you're not getting much engagement. Obviously the answer is seek help, take training, hire someone like Sheila and her company. But I'm wondering if you have that entrepreneur mindset and you want to maybe just try to continue doing it on your own and still do your best, what are some easy tips for us to personally optimize and work our way up to working with an agency?
Yeah, that's a great question. Couple of things I would say is, one, to do social media is one thing and to do it right is another. So setting expectations and really defining what you want out of it first and foremost is going to be important to, how can you measure success if you don't know what it looks like? I think so that would be my first step. And that's a bit of an ambiguous, tricky thing to do is how do you measure success? If I'm starting a new clothing company, I kind of would, in classic marketing, I break it into the sales and then the branding side. So really establish a long-term strategy and then your short-term strategy to get actual money through the door right away. So define that though. So in the next 3 months, I want X amount of items moved out of my inventory. And I want my cost per conversion on the ads I'm running to be this amount because I need to be profitable. Or also set the expectation that it might take thousands and thousands of dollars for you to get to that cost per conversion that is going to make sense for your business. And people sometimes go into it with the mindset that it needs to convert right away. And I would forewarn that it's very difficult to get to that point. Sure. It's very doable, but it can be tricky, which is why you also need to think about your long-term strategy and sort of the branding side of things. So yeah, really define those goals. So you are, how many units am I looking to sell, you know, lifetime value, really try to pinpoint both business metrics and then tie them into some social metrics. If you can, you know, impressions and reach is one thing, but maybe let's look at engagement rates, industry standards. There's a lot of things you can get for free. I go to the public library all the time when I'm doing research for my clients. You know, there's so many things you can get for free in terms of data and things like that. So yeah, set those goals and then just trial and error. I mean, social media is so accessible, and the internet has made everything more level playing field. So I think, why not? You know, I definitely have that mindset myself too. Like, I want to try it myself before I necessarily hire someone. So I think, yeah, just trial and error. Like, TikTok was relatively new. You know, I wouldn't be offering it to my clients if I didn't first myself, like, spend time in the weeds, really, really learning the platform. And I think anyone can pick up their phone and really just do it. And then the third quick thing I'll say is that, you know, define as well, like, you're not inventing the wheel here. You're look at what competitors are doing, or others who you admire in the industry, and you can replicate that in some way and put your own little spin on it as well.
I love it. You know, mimic, look at what others are doing and gain value from that. Maybe mimic what they do, try different things, track your data so you can see your progress. But another thing you touched on that I want to kind of hammer in is there's a lot of nuance there, that you are building your brand, you are growing your reputation, you ultimately are front of mind. So even if you don't hit your very ambitious goals, if you see that good engagement and you see that the metrics are going up, you'd be surprised at, you know, it's like that tipping point where you put in all this time and this work and suddenly, boom, all these opportunities come to you because you put in that time. Are you recommending then to play around and ultimately pay for advertising? Don't just make a post and expect it to have engagement. Do you recommend paying for ads and paying for posts, boosting them?
I would say it depends on your goal. I wouldn't recommend paying for advertising if your organic social media posting and presence isn't active or necessarily established. Maybe, you know, at least have some presence there before you run advertisements. If it's looking to build a loyal, small customer base, you don't necessarily need ads, although that can help. I would say, yeah, to pick your goal. There's a lot of different objectives with advertisements. People think sometimes that it's just as simple as boosting it, but there's a lot of different nuances to the ad. So it's not really quite a yes or no answer, but I would say I would recommend it just for the cost effectiveness of it at this time. You know, February of 2021, I think they're very cost effective still on Facebook and Instagram. If you're trying to reach an audience between, you know, 18 and 45, 55, I would recommend it. Yes.
Yeah, it's a cost effective. They do have great targeting settings, which I love. Mm-hmm. And for the people that are, you know, analytical, they're looking at expenses. One thing I want to point out, because some people don't realize, you can write this off. So I like to treat it, not to call it gambling, but it's kind of gambling. I go on and I try different things and I throw money, and sometimes I'm hoping that it sticks. I figure out exactly what it works. Then I realize that just because it stuck one time doesn't mean it's going to stick every time. You continuously need to reinvent yourself. And I try to have fun with it while still having a business write-off. So that's something I like to encourage. Where should people advertise? I'm sure it depends on industry and demographics, but what's hot right now? Like, should I be advertising on Facebook? Personally, I've never done an Instagram ad. I've never done a TikTok ad. I don't know if you can advertise on TikTok. Yeah. Where should I be advertising? Or maybe give us a demographic example. And because I'm sure based on your age and your target client, it might be different, right?
Yeah, it'll definitely be different. TikTok right now does have an ad platform. They're making it fairly difficult to get approved. I'm plugging away at that.
Good luck.
I do think that's a great avenue, again, depending on your audience. Right now, to give you an example, Facebook, and not to get too technical, but you could probably expect in the Rochester area $3 per 1,000 impressions. That, you know, is a relative rule of thumb. And it's going to depend on the audience you're bidding on, but that's a fairly, I would say, a cost-effective way of reaching 1,000 people. You know, every $3 you spend, you're going to reach about 1,000 people in the Rochester area, let's say, who match a certain age and maybe some few other interests that you target. So that's what you can roughly expect. So if I had $1,000 or so for a new client, I would put, probably depending on their audience, Facebook, I think LinkedIn, if they're going after any business side or professional side, is a very powerful tool. And influencers, I think, are also continue to be underpriced, because if you can find, for example, me in that situation when I had 200,000 followers, no clue what I was doing, you can create relationships and partnerships with these people, you know, micro influencers. They don't have to be, you know, the Kim Kardashians of the world. You can find the 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 person, person who has that many followers, and have a great relationship that's very, you know, ROI positive.
It's incredible. So Instagram, not my forte. It's not something I'm strong at. That's why I love asking these questions, because one thing I learned is you want to look at engagement, because we do live in a world where I could probably send people links. You can tell I didn't use them because I have like 900 followers, but you can buy followers. And guess what? They might unfollow you. They might be bots. And at the end of the day, if you look at engagement, they're not commenting, they're not liking, they're not reposting, they're useless. And to my understanding, Instagram's algorithm might see that your followers are useless and then your stuff doesn't get shown. So yeah, you were talking about micro influencers. Someone might have 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 followers, which is a lot of people. And if they have a ton of people commenting, you know that their audience is engaged. Now, I know it understands for physical brand products like, you know, beauty products, fitness products. I know that works. I kind of have a two-part question. Let's talk about a physical product, like a beauty product. I've never tried it, but I would presume influencer marketing would be incredible if you had a physical product that someone could take a picture of, a testimonial of. I want to get into things that are non-physical in a little bit, in like a marketing company. Can I use an influencer with a marketing company? But let's start with, let's say I have a physical product, whether it's a restaurant or a retail location. How can I utilize influencers to build my brand?
Sure. So the question is, if you do have a physical product?
Yes. So let's say we'll focus on beauty products. Let's say beauty or fitness. Like I have a product that makes you look good, feel good. How would I reach out to an influencer and start building that relationship? And what should I expect from that kind of relationship?
Sure. First I would start by, obviously you've got to know your target audience. Let's say you have that defined. Then find, Google a specific hashtag that's, you know, you're specific to you. Google a specific, maybe a specific influencer that you already know of, and then go look at who they're following. I would build a list of 500 influencers. Let's do 500, because I think narrowing it to 100, depending on the size of your market. I do think you've got to have quantity here, because you're not going to hear back from a lot of these people.
Sometimes less is more. Sometimes more is more. You do want to have a lot of opportunities.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. And make sure they're all a good fit. But you do have to kind of keep in mind that, you might not hear back. It's kind of like PR, right? If you're trying to get your story out, you're going to have to reach out to lots of different media outlets, likely. So I would first define those, you know, few hundred that are a good fit and maybe rank them, and then just start. If let's say it's on Instagram, I would maybe reach out to them via Instagram, you know, and depending if you have a physical product, you could send it to them. It's quite easy to get, you know, addresses. Sometimes they'll do it for free, just, you know, if they like the product. What I always like to do is establish a long-term relationship. So if someone, okay, their rates are, this is going to be $500 if I do a post for you, I almost never, ever will accept that at first. I will always look to define a 3-month relationship where we do some ongoing partnership, and that's going to get them to really believe in the brand as well. And we don't want someone who doesn't actually care. So try to set parameters around the time frame, and then also do what you think is fair. I think people are, there's a lot that we can measure, but there's a lot that we can't measure. So people are receptive to that, and I think pretty willing to do pilot programs or things like that that don't lock you into any long-term thing, although you do want to establish kind of a great relationship on a move forward basis.
It's incredible. And anyone listening, I know this is higher level. I want this to be one of those podcasts that if someone has like a question, I can just direct them to the podcast. Because at the end of the day, if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was an option, you can watch YouTube videos, you can Google it, you can dive deep, you can call Sheila. There is a million strategies that are working, and they're kind of working behind the scenes. You know, not everyone's utilizing them. A lot of people are utilizing Facebook ads, Google pay-per-click, but dealing with influencers that can build your brand is something that a lot of people don't realize is very, very valuable. I'll say personally, this podcast cost me a little bit of money. It takes a lot of time. However, the podcast has been my number one source for great relationships. And it's really just me building my brand and having conversations. So you should be doing that, whether it's with influencers, with your target market. I'm curious, and this is also super high level. I don't know the answer. It's kind of out of the blue. But what if I'm in the service industry? Like, what if I'm a roofer? Or what if I'm, you know, a marketing company? It's not the best example. What if I'm a roofer or a plumber or someone that is totally service industry related, and they don't really deal with a product like a health product or a beauty product or something physical that you would take a picture of and endorse? Have you seen people like a roofer work with influencers? Like, how would that work? I'm just wondering. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like what comes to mind is like State Farm. You know, they've clearly done an amazing job finding people to endorse State Farm and, you know, their latest Super Bowl commercial. So there's ways, but that's on a large scale. I think you have to know how people search for your product or hear and the whole kind of conversion process. Like I've worked with plumbing companies, heating companies, and I find that Google ads are probably the number one way to go for them because, you know, people, yes, you want that top of mind awareness and you want people to get driven to the website, but if they're not in need of the service right at that moment, you know, that might not have the most, that will help. But if they don't memorize your phone number so that when they're in need, you know, they call you, maybe that's what you have to do is come up with a jingle. And I don't know. That's a tough question. It's a great question. How would a roofer use influencers? I also, what I think you have to keep in mind is everyone is an influencer in their own way. You know, I have a network, you have your own network. So even if I have, you know, 2000 followers, that might still, so maybe you get friends and family to post on social media and endorse you and leave a review if you're a roofer. You know, that in itself will go a long way. I kind of think of social media as word of mouth on steroids. So if I say micro influencers of 10, 20,000, but maybe if, you know, a group of 10 friends who each have 500 followers, and, you know, says this was, you know, this company's a great company. I've, you know, personally tested their service. That could also, you know, be effective.
You've got so many thoughts running through my head. I like how you said social media is like word of mouth on steroids, because a lot of businesses, their number one source is word of mouth. And I'm like, good, it should be. Yeah. You want people to be talking about you. The thought I was having was, if you can't find an influencer, why not be that influencer? Because if you are the expert on roofing materials and you know how to give people peace of mind that you can take care of their roof, their leaks, why not educate people on that so you are front of mind and you get more word of mouth referrals and you get people talking about you? But I also like that you mentioned pay-per-click, something like Google, because at the end of the day, my washer's broken. I need that fixed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I know, well, my girlfriend does, but I might not know someone who can fix it, right? I'm going to go to Google and I'm going to type in emergency or 24-hour washer repair or something like that. And that's where what you said, that's where those pay-per-click campaigns would come into play, right? Mm-hmm. This is the evening, right? I don't know when people are listening to this. I had a long day. I'm sure you did as well. And I'm just like grilling you with like super high level questions. So I appreciate you being open-minded here. I think anyone listening to this is going to get just so much value. And I really hope people are taking notes and Googling ways to do it themselves. Always reach out to one of us if you have any questions. And I want to ultimately introduce your podcast. So just recently you rolled out a podcast as well, right? So Claw Combos, what exactly is that, like White Claw?
It is. yeah, a lot of people don't get that reference. Yeah, similarly to what you said, it ties in very well, right? Be the influencer. So Claw Combos, I started in October. So it's early on kind of experiment for me so far, but it's been really awesome. It's not related to Dunn Goodwin, although it's great. It builds relationships. It's like what you said, and it Claw Combos is what we say, the podcast for entrepreneurs and claw connoisseurs. So it's kind of lighthearted business conversations, the ups and downs, kind of the unconventional lifestyle and approach that comes with that, and you know, fair game, anything goes type podcast.
So are you a claw connoisseur then?
Connoisseur, yeah. I would say, you know, very very basic answer, but yeah, White Claws you know, makes it a little more fun and entertaining, I would say.
I sometimes like putting a little bit of vodka, maybe some bubbly, making a cocktail out of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Making it fun.
Yeah.
Cool. So and you have a co-host, right? Tell us about your co-host and maybe introduce an episode for us to listen to.
Awesome. Yeah, I would. So my co-host is my younger sister, Maya. Cool. She is also an entrepreneur. We both started our businesses in college, and she's in the e-commerce world. She has an e-commerce software that if you have a product and you want to get listed on Amazon, Walmart, eBay, these online marketplaces, she can help you do that. And so we teamed up. We always talk about business and our latest, you know, struggles or successes. And oftentimes we're drinking a White Claw when we're doing that. And so right. That's how the idea started. But yeah, we've got all sorts of guests on there. We have the CEO of Super Coffee was our latest one, Jim DeChico. That was a great episode. We have the CEO of Tracer coming on, which is a VaynerMedia company.
Wow.
You know, one of our mentors, Andy Greenfield, who started and sold the world's first market research company. Online market research company, not first market research company.
Got it.
But yeah, diverse kind of guests come on, and it's been a lot of fun. So would love for anyone to check it out. It's just at Claw Combos or clawcombos.com.
I love it. I'm going to dive deeper. Sisters, entrepreneurs, are you guys cut from a different cloth? Like, what's going on? I know personally, I always had side gigs. I didn't start my entrepreneurial career till very recently. I'm 29. And I know you're quite younger than me and crushing it, already 4 years plus in business. So, like, are you cut from a different cloth? Where does the spirit come from?
Yeah, we're a little out there. No, we're actually the two youngest of six. And our dad's an entrepreneur, and kind of our whole family kind of grew up in that way. But like I said, yeah, it kind of came accidentally. And my sister Mai actually works with my brother Kevin, and all of the siblings kind of have their own entrepreneurial things going on. So I think it's just been a family thing. And I wouldn't really want to be doing anything else. It's been a lot of fun. And I get to, you know, talk with, I love the podcast too. It's kind of its own. I think, you know, it's kind of like running a mini business as well. Yeah. You know, doing your own thing, marketing it, bringing guests on, things like that. So yeah, I think we just grew up with it, and I fell into it accidentally, but I've really loved it.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's got to be a chip on your shoulder when you have that many siblings. All of them sound like they're driven people as well. So you're like, I got to one them up. I gotta be a rock star too, right?
A little bit, yeah. It's friendly competition for sure.
Which is good stuff. Awesome. I always like to talk a little bit about Rochester because I love Rochester. I'm born and raised. I'm wondering, are you from here? If not, what brought you to Rochester, and what do you love about the region?
Yeah. I was born in Rochester, went to Honey Falls, Lima. Also, my co-founder, Luke, we met in high school. So Rochester born, raised, and I went to Hamilton, New York for college, so not too far away. But yeah, I love Rochester. I love the season. I love the seasons, which a lot of people hate the winters, but I actually really love the seasons. I love going out to the lakes. I love, you know, the summertime is gorgeous. And we're based right in downtown Rochester. I'm really excited for the future of the city. I think a lot of life and new energy is coming back to downtown. And so, just excited for what the future has. You know, we're looking to expand regionally as well, but we'll always have kind of our base in Rochester.
I'm excited for it as well. Yeah, congratulations, you're crushing it. New office in the city. There's a rebirth happening in Rochester that obviously COVID has mixed everything up, but right before COVID, I had never seen Rochester building so much in terms of apartments and just so much going on in the city. Lots of great things to look forward to. But you're looking to expand, it sounds like. You're looking to go big?
Well, yeah, you know, go big or go home, right?
Totally. I want to move over to the rapid fire round. Just easy, short, sweet answers, fill in the blank, either or kind of thing. Just to get to know you a little bit better. Sounds good, Sheila?
Yeah.
What about coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Beer or wine?
Can I say White Claw? No, I'll go with wine.
Is White Claw technically a beer? It's a hard seltzer.
Okay. Yes. Then I might have to go with beer.
Don't know what category hard seltzer is. That's a fill in the blank category we'll go with. What about iOS or Android?
I'll go with iOS.
Are you on Clubhouse?
I am on Clubhouse.
So I have Android, have my whole life. I'm like seconds from buying an iPad because Clubhouse. Anyone in like the entrepreneurial scene, especially iOS users, like Clubhouse is the talk of the town. So if you're hearing about it for the first time, anyone listening, check it out if you're iOS. How much time have you spent on Clubhouse? Do you want to introduce it to people? I've never been on, which bums me out because I want to be, but I don't have the technology to. So yeah.
Wait a minute. So Androids can't?
Correct.
Oh my goodness.
Just iOS and it's just invitation only, which I mean, it's easy to get an invitation, but it's kind of like when Facebook rolled out and it was just for Harvard residents. And it's like, I want to get in. That's how I feel about Clubhouse because to my understanding, it's basically like a live podcast chat room where great, intelligent people teach and stuff, right?
Yeah. So I'm on it. I have it right here, but it's
cool.
It's an audio. Sorry. It's an audio only social media platform. There's different rooms for all different topics. So whatever your interests are, for example, there's tech networking, you know, startups, platforms, and creators. Let's talk startup ideas. Those are ones that are showing up for me. It kind of makes sure. sense. But yeah, there's a good, very unique app. I have not spent enough time on it to really get a good sense of it, but I'm interested to see how it evolves, especially I think for our podcasting, it'll be an interesting platform for the future to kind of use and share episodes through.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's not often I endorse something that I've literally never used, but I've seen the popularity of Clubhouse. I see how it's a great way to go in and be a fly on the wall and listen to conversations from really smart, successful people and be able to learn and teach and have those conversations. It's a great opportunity. So I recommend anybody who has iOS, check it out, because my actual real recommendation is a podcast too. Just anybody can listen to a podcast and gain so much insight. Clubhouse sounds super cool. Speaking of podcasts, do you have any favorites, any recommendations?
Great question. How We Built This, it was one of the first ones I've always listened to. And then maybe a cliche answer is also I listen to Gary Vaynerchuk like all the time.
Yeah.
His audio experience is good. I actually just talked with someone, his name's Danny Miranda, and I would recommend that one. He's 25 years old, very, very ambitious, passionate guy, really trying to, but he spreads a lot of happiness and positivity. So I like him a lot.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll do one more. Favorite guilty pleasure / dessert?
Favorite dessert. Well, I love, this is kind of a weird one. I love piece of cake ice cream. Perry's piece of cake. And I don't know if it's a guilt. I mean, guilty pleasure. I love watching like reality TV show. I don't know if you're asking about a guilty pleasure dessert, but I watch a lot of reality TV show, which my friends and family think is funny, just given how, I don't know, my interests. It's like I also watch reality TV, which is like just junk.
I like reality TV. I haven't watched them recently much, but yeah, it's just fun. It's humorous. Yeah.
Like Bachelor, Kardashians. So.
It's cute. It's fun.
Yeah.
One piece of advice I actually got on the show from Kathy Palikoff. She's an amazing ghostwriter, helps start people's book launches, all sorts of amazing stuff. But she was talking about how look at your target audience and actually like do what they do. Like if your target audience, like start reading fiction and focus on things that are not just, I'm like a nonfiction junkie. And sometimes ordinary people like reality TV. They like fiction. They have interests other than just Clubhouse podcasts and reading like me. And so there's something to be said about watching reality TV, staying up on the culture, and just being human. It doesn't always have to be educational. It can just be fun, right?
I like that for sure. Yeah, that's good advice.
Yeah, so awesome. How do we stay in touch with you? Is email, phone call, website, what's the best way to reach out and learn a little bit more?
Yeah, any of the above. My email, SheilaDunn@dungoodwin.com would probably be best. Yeah, I'd love for anyone who wants to have a further conversation, either check out Dunn Goodwin or Claw Combos, and would love to talk.
Awesome. Is this just at Dunn Goodwin and at Claw Combos?
Yep. And or dungoodwin.com and clubcombos.com.
Awesome. And I'm going to post some links in the show notes so you guys know to check that out. I say it often, like if you don't have the time to go to the show notes, look up her website, check her out on Instagram. Like if you don't have the time for that, we can't help you. So go to the show notes, take action today. I appreciate you coming on. Just to end on a high note, one more open-ended question, because I just love knowledge and I love facts and I love tips. So a lot of my listeners, they are entrepreneurs, or they're basically solopreneurs in a company. Like they're basically an entrepreneur. They're salespeople, young and old. Mm-hmm. So like any basic tips, let's say I'm a young entrepreneur, 18, 19 years old, and I'm just getting started, or I could even be 45 and it's the first time I went off and started my own business. Any tips? Like, is there anything I should look out for? Is there anything that can kind of put me on the right path so I can make, I know I'm going to make mistakes, but any way to make less mistakes? Any recommendations you have?
Less mistakes. I would say that, again, a cliche answer, but be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And also, at the same time, you almost want to be uncomfortable with the comfortable. So never get too comfortable and always be looking, you know, it's okay to fall on your face. And also, this is going to be funny coming from me, you know, 22 years old, but if I could look back at like my 18-year-old self, I was very like, worried about trying to make it or like get to a certain goal so quickly. And I just, this past, you know, a few months, maybe it's partly the pandemic, but I've really been thinking about just how much time we have and like, you know, there's no rush. I guess it kind of ties into the importance of patience. Please, you know, entrepreneurs always say you need patience, but I really do believe that putting things into perspective, in just how much time we have to make things happen. It doesn't have to be immediate. And then lastly, I would say something that's been game changing for me has been gratitude. Mm-hmm. I do it every morning, every night, and that you're going to be making mistakes. So if you can put things, again, putting things into perspective and just being grateful for what you do have and where you are currently at the moment has been very impactful for me.
I love it. Hey, they wouldn't call them cliches. The reason they're cliches is because they're true. You know,
yeah.
We need to be patient. One thing I want to add is one thing I see that you did well is you did something you loved. You got lucky in a sense that you were doing something you loved and the market loved it too. But I'll throw that in there. Like if you're really enjoying what you're doing, it's going to be worth your time because you're doing something you really enjoy. And that's another cliche, do what you love. But I wanted to add that. I think that you're awesome. I'm going to listen to your show a little bit more. And I appreciate you coming on mine. It's been a ton of fun, Sheila.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I look forward to future episodes and tuning in and staying connected as well.
Awesome. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.